We've been talking about love for the last 6 weeks. We're done. We're not done because everything about the word is love. But that's not going to be the key focus today, because the key focus that we started out talking about was the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestations of the Spirit. But I believe that we needed to lay a foundation for love, because everything works, faith works by love. We need to lay that foundation of love in order to move forward with regards to the manifestation and the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to break those down here over the next couple of 3 weeks about the gifts of the Spirit. But I believe that the foundation of love needed to be laid. So we spent 6 weeks. We could have gone longer, just so you know. Some people will say, well, this isn't an exhaustive teaching. No teaching is exhaustive. The Bible is, it's progressive. The Lord constantly revealing things to us as we read His Word. And so no subject is exhaustive. You can't get to the end of any subject when it comes to the things of God. So we could have gone longer, and we may come back. But I was looking at this quote here this morning. It says, life is too short, the world is too big, and God's love too great to live ordinary. We live ordinary sometimes. Sometimes we get so caught up in our, I wake up, I throw the coffee pot on, I get ready for work, I go to work, I come home, I sometimes kick the dog, sometimes, not always. I eat my supper, I watch TV, I go to bed, and rinse and repeat. Sometimes we can get caught up in that mode. And sometimes we can get caught up in the mode. I mean, I worked in a place for a number of years that I could have come home and just threw up all over Carrie the things that I dealt with on a daily basis. But she'll tell you that I never talked about my job with her. In the 26 years we were there, I never discussed my job with her. She wouldn't have probably understood anyway some of the things that we dealt with on a daily basis. But I'm like, I'm not bringing that attitude, I'm not bringing that atmosphere into my home. Amen. We don't need to bring those attitudes and that atmosphere into our home. It's not good. It's not healthy. When I walk into my home, it's like, well, I used to tell my kids this too. They would come running to me. I'd say, wait. Now some people, and I'm not saying this is wrong, just reach down, swoop up their kids. Oh, I'm so glad to see you after a long day. And I say, wait. All right. Hey, Carrie, hey, I'm home. Anything you need? I engage her before I do anything else. To let her know that she's important. And what does that do? The best thing you can do for your kids is love their mom. That's something that I've endeavored to do all these 40 years that we've been married. We dated for 2 years, so 42 years we've been. And so that's something I endeavor to do, is to love their mom. And I look at my kids today, I see their mom in them. And they're doing great things with their kids and their husbands. But the title of my sermon today, we're going to get into the gifts of the Spirit with the manifestations. He's in our lives, in our personal lives, and in our services. But the title of my sermon today is All About Me. Or is it? Anybody ever heard the term narcissism? An excessive interest in or admiration of oneself. Unreasonably high sense of their own importance. It's all about me. I put a post on Facebook, and I'm constantly going back to see how many people have commented and how many likes and loves that I've gotten on Facebook, because it's all about me. I want people to know all about me. Is it really all about us? Now, some of the words that can destroy a narcissist, if you want to have fun, but is accountability. I think that word can destroy a lot of people, talking about accountability. Talking about doing the right thing. Talking about if you say you're going to do something, you do it to at your own hurt. Even if it's something better comes along, and because I've seen this happen. Somebody tells me they're going to do something, but something better comes along, more fun comes along, and they don't do what they told me they were going to do. I will tell you, Carrie will tell you, I will do it to my own hurt. If I tell you I'll do something, I'm going to do it, even if I don't feel like it. Sometimes you don't. But it's all about me. If you want to guarantee, we're talking about gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about a move of the Spirit in our lives and in this church. And we'll break down what those gifts of the Spirit are. If you want to guarantee that there is no move of the Spirit, insert man's personal self-seeking agenda into the equation. All about what they want to see happen. Things have to happen a certain way. We have to have all 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation in our service, or we didn't have church. There are people like that, just so you know. What's the best gift to have in operation? It's the one that you need. And if prophecy is what's needed, words of wisdom, tongues of interpretation, discerning of spirits, whatever is needed. And as we read 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to see that it's as the Spirit wills. So if it's as the Spirit wills, does your will play into? Your will plays into it when you say, yes, Holy Spirit, I submit my will to what you want done. So if you want to guarantee there's no move, let man put his own self-seeking ideas into the equation. Too often the move of the Holy Spirit has been replaced with man's agenda. Anybody come in here today with an agenda? I hope some of you did. I know Brent Luce came in with an agenda to make lattes. You know, the worship team, they had an agenda to worship. But you know what? If we want God's agenda, it could have been, there were moments, and I had to check myself. I'm standing down here. I had to check myself. Okay, is this God or is this me? Where I was tempted to go up and interrupt the worship and say something. Well, as I'm standing there, he's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. But I want to be sensitive to what the Spirit is doing. I might get it wrong sometimes, but I would rather be wrong than not act at all. Now, I'm not going to do something goofy. I'm not going to, well, maybe I would. I've been known to do goofy things. Running out of porta potties with toilet paper tucked in my back pocket and going up on stage to sing with my band like that. They thought that was goofy. But anyway, but we want to be sensitive to what it is that God wants us to do. So we need to, now, I will say this too. Sometimes if all 9 gifts of the Spirit, if they're not in operation, some people think we haven't had church. Some people don't think we haven't had church also if we're not running and jumping all the time and swinging off the light globes and don't do that. But anyway, if we're not doing those things, they think that we didn't have church. The Holy Spirit didn't show up. Guess what? Sometimes the Holy Spirit shows up the most powerful when it's 100% silent for a whole hour. Because then you have time to, I won't say it like that because I told my kids never to say that. Then you have time to be quiet and actually stop and listen. Sometimes this here keeps doing this. Anybody ever seen that? What was that show? Jim Carrey, he had that line where he says, this is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do. Sometimes that's what we need to do. And we need to pay attention to what's happening in our services. We need to tap in and we need to hook up with the way the Spirit is moving. Get our own agendas out of the equation. Don't follow man's plan. I might have something that I believe that we're supposed to do here this morning, but then the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I need to be able to switch. I need to be able to say yes. And I'm going to tread on some dangerous ground here right now. So be ready. If the Holy Spirit tells me something to tell you to do, you need to be able to say yes. and not get offended. Ooh, ouch. That hurt. I've been that person before that got offended, just so you know. But we need to be able to say yes to whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We need to be hungry. We need to be hungry for the things of God. We need to be hungry for the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that when we look at 1 Corinthians 12:1 and we look at 1 Corinthians 14:1. We need to be hungry for the things of the Spirit. We need to be hungry for the gifts of the Spirit. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says to eagerly, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Well, it tells us about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when we start reading those, you're going to say, I'm going to say, okay, eagerly desire that. Want that to happen. If we have all nine of them happen in our service, man, let's have a blowout. If we have one of them happen in our service, let's have a blowout. If he says be quiet in our service, let's have a blowout being quiet, but let's be led by the Spirit of God. And if we're led by the Spirit of God, that's when we start seeing things happen in our lives. That's when we start seeing things happen back on the ranch, when you've got a situation going on back there that you don't know how to deal with. When we're sensitive to what the Spirit of God tells us to do, he starts taking care of those things. We don't want to block the flow of the Spirit and what he wants to do. And flow, it's defined as to move freely from one place to another in a steady, unbroken stream, unhindered, steady movement. Notice unbroken and unhindered. This means nothing standing in the way. Agendas out the window. I don't even want you to check them at the door. Destroy them. Get rid of agendas. I endeavor to get rid of my agendas. Not just here, but in any situation I find myself in. I've had to learn to, because a lot of times when we have conversations with somebody and somebody's telling us all something about what's going on in their lives, a lot of times in our minds we're formulating, we're not really listening to them. We're thinking about what we're going to say when they stop talking. Lay that agenda aside. When you're dealing with individuals, stop. Last night I was over in the Cunningham Park over there by where we live. And there was seven young guys playing basketball. And they looked like they were maybe 14 to 16 years old. And I'm out in the field and I got my discs. And I'm out there throwing, practicing my throws, disc golf and all that. And at one moment, all seven of them came walking over toward me. I'm thinking, oh, okay. And hey, can we talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. He says, is that disc golf? I said, yeah, that's disc golf. And I started talking about it a little bit and carrying on a conversation with them. And as they're talking, I'm just sitting there and I'm listening to them. And they had two basketball hoops there. One of them's pretty rusty and the net's fallen off. And on the other basketball hoop on the other end, there is no backboard. There is no rim. It's just the pipe going up. And I started talking to them. And I told Carrie, I said, I need to go down to City Hall and see what we can do about getting those basketball rims repaired. Because those kids, they're respectful. They're not tearing the place up over there. They go there, they play. There was one out there this morning at 7 o'clock when I was coming here, out there shooting baskets already. But you know, I walked into that situation and set my agenda aside. Ooh, I see a bunch of youth here. How can I get them to church? But instead, I set that aside and I thought, no, you got to form a relationship with these kids. You got to let them know that they're important. And when I talked to them about potentially talking to somebody about putting basketball hoops up there, they said, man, you wouldn't know what that would mean to us. Okay. You know, and I said, you know, if we need LifePoint to go help them put them up, if we need LifePoint to help finance those basketball hoops, if I have to help finance them out of my own pocket to make it happen, I'll talk to the city to make it happen, then I'm going to make it happen. Because I want to build a relationship with those kids. They're there every day. And I told them, I said, when there may be a day that I come over here and I'll have to come out there and school you on a game of horse. And they laughed at me. But they don't realize that I played basketball for quite some time too, and I know how to shoot the basketball, just so you know. But I needed to form a relationship with them. I needed to set my agenda aside and desire, like it talks about here, desire spiritual gifts, desire to build a relationship with these kids. Because they need Jesus. Just because they're kids doesn't mean they don't need Jesus. They need Jesus. I don't know if any of them go to church or not. But it doesn't matter. But we need to. We need that flow. We need that flow of the Spirit moving in this place here. We need it to be unhindered. We need to set agenda aside. So we aren't going to check them at the door. We're just going to get rid of them altogether. So, you know, that the flow, hindering the flow, obstacles that are in the river that block the flow. You know, when you got an obstacle in a river, that the river's flowing freely. There's no obstacle, so it can flow straight. It can go the direction it's supposed to go. But when you put an obstacle in the river, that river comes up against it, has to change directions and go another direction. There's more energy and there's more force behind that hitting that obstacle than there needs to be. The flow should be so easy going through here. There shouldn't be any obstacles, nothing blocking things that are going on here. The river either gets stopped in the obstacles, if the obstacle's large enough, or it has to go around it. Holy Spirit doesn't want to have to go around things here. He wants to move the way that he wants to move. I'm going to do something here, and remember I said earlier, if I were to ask somebody to do something, you just say yes, right? Okay, Peg, can you come up to the stage? Michelle, can you come up to the stage? Annie, can you come up to the stage? And then I want somebody to help Miss Dorothy up to the stage. Okay, you guys come all over here. I want you to stand right along here in front of the keyboard, you three. All right, and I'm going to pull my pulpit out of the way just for a second. I'll put it back, just so you know. All right, Miss Dorothy, you come up here. All right, you're going to stay with me because you're the flow. You're the Holy Spirit. So, just a way, by way of illustration, if these the obstacles, you guys are obstacles, just so you know. They're all standing there. Now, if me and Miss Dorothy, who is the flow, she's the Holy Spirit, and we walk this way, we're going to walk this way, we can walk freely. We're not observing any obstacles, anything like that. Okay, you have to keep up with me, okay? All right, there we go. We have to go like that. Now, let's get Annie and Michelle, you guys stand right here. Back up just a little bit and turn and face me. Side by side. I should have hook arms. Okay, now, here they are. They're obstacles. Whatever the obstacle may be. Because we have obstacles that we bring. Sometimes we bring obstacles in the door with us. And so when we're here and we want the Holy Spirit to flow, we've got these obstacles in our minds and we're thinking about those things that are going on in our minds, and all of a sudden, we can't think about anything else. We're not thinking about what the Spirit wants to do. So we come in here and we come up against this, well, we can't go. But we're saying, no, Satan, not today. You're not Satan, just so you know. No, Satan, not today. So what are we going to do? We're going to go this way, Holy Spirit flow. We're going to go around them. You're okay. Yeah, I'll fall before you do. Okay, so here we are. We got around it, but it was more effort. I mean, we had to go, came up against them. We had to go that direction, go this direction. Our GPS was telling us to go this way. It kept recalculating. No, don't go that way. So we're going to go back around this way. We're going to get back over here. All right, and then we're going to get Peg, and Peg's going to go over here on the side of Annie, and you're going to lock arms. Okay, so now we come up against the blockage. Where do we go? She's looking that way. She sees a way that way. Where do we go? We've allowed too much to come inside here. We've allowed too much to happen in our midst, in our lives, in the church. We've allowed too much to come in to where we run up against blockages all then. The Holy Spirit wants to move. He wants to do some stuff, but we brought too much into the service with us. Man, check your agenda outside. Get rid of it. So say, no, go, go, go. I'm not dealing with that anymore. So here we go, and we're believing here, and me and Dorothy, we're believing. We're believing God right here. We don't want any obstacles. We want the Holy Spirit to flow freely in this place. So we're believing God, and we're speaking. We bind you in the name of Jesus. Okay, you obstacle, you go that way. We bind, and then we just like, okay, here we go. We're flowing freely. We're going to have the Spirit of God working in this place. He's going to do the things that he wants to do in this place. We're going to have prophecy. We're going to have word of knowledge. We're going to have tongues interpretation. We're going to have words of wisdom. We're going to have discerning of spirits. All those things operating in this place, because we're not going to allow obstacles to come in to our presence. So start expecting when you come through these doors, or even in your personal life, but expecting when you come in these doors here for the Spirit of God to speak to me. He might speak to somebody else. Somebody might be sitting out here and raise their hand or whatever, or they come up here. Hey, I believe the Lord's told me something that I need to share. And I'll say, okay, tell me first. And then I'll say, okay, let's do it. Because these gifts of the Spirit, they're for the benefit of all. We want to be leave out of this place benefited because the Holy Spirit was here. Well, I want to give these guys a round of applause. They were great obstacles, and they were a great flow of the Spirit. You guys can go on down this way here. Lonnie, all right, Miss Dorothy. Okay, here we go. All right. Miss Dorothy was one of our testimonies on Wednesday night, and we did memorialize that. I have pictures of you, Miss Dorothy, just so you know. See, now coming up on the stage and being live on social media, that wasn't too hard, was it? Of course, I told you that after the fact, just so you know. But I appreciate it. But, you know, I think about these blockages. I think about these things that try to block the gifts of the Spirit and the move of the Spirit. I mean, if you've ever thought about a culvert that goes under the road, and a lot of times you go by these culverts and there'll be sticks and leaves and mud and all that type of stuff blocking this up, so it's hindering the flow of water through. You might get a few trickles of water through that, but it's not flowing like it's meant to. And so it's backing up all kinds of water back on this other side here. This water, it wants to be released. It wants to be released downstream. It wants to go through the culvert. It wants to go to the place where it was meant to go, but it can't because there's so many obstacles over here. But man, when we start moving out those obstacles, pulling out those sticks and that mud and leaves, what happens to that water? It's almost like it burst out the other end of the culvert. And it goes the way it's supposed to. It flows freely like it's supposed to. But, you know, but just like there are different rivers with different strengths and flows, so there's a diversity with the Holy Spirit. There's things that He wants to do. There's things that He wants to see done. There's words that He wants to be spoken. And we need to be ready for it. We need to get rid of the things that would cause that not to happen. But the move of the Spirit can involve quietness, or it can be loud. We can move with the Spirit in whatever way that He sees fit. But too often we associate the move of the Spirit with one or the other. We have an agenda. We have our own way that we think that things should happen. And with this mentality, we'll miss out on the diversity that God has for us. And what I mean by diversity, I mean He may have a word of knowledge for us. And if we're thinking that we're supposed to run and jump and shout, well, that's out of order. There's times I want to run and jump and shout. There's times that I want to wander around the place here like I did this morning. I believe that the Lord was... I'm not that person. I'm not the person to dance. The only time I ever danced was in high school, and it was only a slow dance. I'm not a fast jig like you see some of these guys doing. That's not me. So for me to wander around and do the things that I do, that's really not me. But you know what? I want to be obedient to what God's telling me to do. Because when I'm obedient to what He's telling me to do, it frees me up. When I don't do what He tells me to do, if I wouldn't have done that this morning, I'm in bondage. I'm in bondage to fear. So I encourage you, if the Lord's, whatever He's telling you to do, just do it. Just do it. He wants to move in this place. Now I will say that some ministers, you know, they're afraid of excess and error. So they shut down all the movement of God in their services. And by doing this, I believe that they quench the actual move that God wants to do. I mean, there's fruits and nuts in the church, just so you know. There's some crazy people in the church. But you know what? I'm not going to shut down everything just because we run across fruits and nuts. just to stop the false, they shut down everything. You have a few false prophecies. People get up and they'll speak something, whatever, and really, it's not God. You know what do you do in that situation there? Well, I'm not going to shut down the move of God. I think in those situations right there, it's a lot of it. Sometimes it's just a matter of teaching. They just don't know any better. They just don't know. It's never really been taught on. And so you got to teach. Or there may be preachers that want to shut down the flow of healing in the service. Because one of the gifts of the Spirit, matter of fact, it says gifts, plural, of healings, plural, is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And some people want to shut that down. Well, why do they want to shut that down? Well, I knew of a minister one time. He came to a meeting that I was at. And I wasn't preaching, but I was there. And he came forward, and he got ministered to, prayed over for healing. And then he was all excited about it. And so the next week, he went to his doctor, you know, wanting the doctor to say, yeah, it's gone. That thing that you had going on, it's all gone. Well, the doctor told him, no, it's still there. It's still there. And what did this preacher do? He went back to his church and told them that it's not real and discouraged any of his members from coming to those types of meetings ever again. He shut down the flow, all because the manifestation of his healing didn't take place right away. The Bible says you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. What does recovery mean? Is it a process? Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's boom. Yeah, you're healed. You're up, jumping, running, dancing, whatever it may be. But sometimes it's a process. God is still God. God is still in the healing business. God hasn't changed. The gifts of healings is still available to us today. In Acts chapter 3 and 4, it talks about how Peter and John, how they went to the temple, and there's this lame guy there. He's been there for 40 years, and he's out there begging for money, whatever it may be, to survive. That's what he does. And so he's begging, and they looked at him and said, well, we don't have silver and gold, but what we do have, took him by the hand and said, rise up in the name of Jesus. Well, he's sitting there begging gold, thinking that's what he needed, but he didn't realize what he actually needed, and that was for the hand of God to touch him that day and lift him up. So they go on about, and they're preaching, they're teaching. Many people are believing, and they're having a good old time, and then they get pulled in by the courts. The courts, meaning the priests and the Sadducees and the church people. Church folk pulled them in. And even these church folk, they asked him, by what authority are you doing the things that you're doing? And so Peter, he's all brave and everything. He gets up there and he starts preaching and telling them by what power and what authority. And even these priests and these Sadducees, they admitted, man, we can't deny there wasn't actually a miracle that happened here. All these great things are happening. All these people are believing. But what can we do to try to shut down this propaganda? They figured it to be propaganda. So they knew that miraculous things were happening. They knew that this guy had been laying there for 40 years and he's up and walking. They knew that a miracle had happened, but they're thinking, how can I shut it down? How can I stop the flow? How can I stop the manifestation of the Spirit? How can I stop the gifts of the Spirit happening in that situation? And some preachers say, how can I stop that in the church today? I was watching a podcast, and I like the podcast, but I'm probably going to stop watching the podcast now. It's funny in the beginning. I like listening to the funny stuff they talk about, and then they'll talk about God and Bible and church stuff. But they started talking about how these healings and these gifts and all these things, how it was for the disciples, it was passed down to Paul, and then we didn't need it anymore. Like, yikes. Wait a second. Wait. Let me look back here. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he tells us he doesn't want us to be ignorant of these spiritual gifts. Now, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. So once Paul's dead, these people are still alive, tells me that it's still meant for today. It traveled on after that. In Mark chapter 6, I'll read here starting with verse 1. It says, Jesus went back into his hometown where he had grown up and his disciples followed him there. When the Sabbath came, he went into the synagogue in Nazareth and began to teach as he had done elsewhere, and many of those who heard him were astonished. Like, wow, this is great. Man, this is one of the best preachers I've ever heard in my life. Anybody got a favorite preacher? I do. Kind of narcissist myself, but no. Kidding. So, in other words, I like myself, just so you know. But it goes on here to say, those in the synagogue said, where did he gain this wisdom? And what are all these stories we've been hearing about the signs and the healings he's performed? Where did he get that kind of power? Isn't this Jesus, the little boy we used to see in Joseph's carpenter shop? Didn't he grow up to be a carpenter just like his father? Isn't he the son of Mary over there and the brothers of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon and their sisters? Who does he think he is? They shut him down. They were familiar with him. They knew who he was. He's just a carpenter's son. Doesn't matter that all these signs and these wonders and these miracles are happening at his ministry and the wisdom that he displayed in his teaching. It doesn't matter about all that. They knew who he was. They looked for an opportunity to be able to shut him down. And when they had thought about it that way, they became indignant and closed themselves to his message. Verse 4, a prophet can find honor anywhere except in his hometown, among his own people and his own household. He could not do any of his great works among them except with a few of the sick, whom he healed by laying his hands upon them. He was amazed by the stubbornness of their unbelief. And Jesus went out among the villages teaching. What's the cure for unbelief? Teaching. Not only did he go out, he sent his guys out, disciples out, and they went about teaching and healing. So here you've got all this going on back here. People get familiar with you sometimes, and they think, well, that's just Pastor Rick. Yeah, he's preached that before. He said that before. Oh, he taught on love for 6 weeks. Why do we have to listen to it again? Sometimes we get familiar with a specific person. But if we come into any gathering, whether it's here, whatever it may be, and we think, okay, God's placed him there. God's given him a message, and I'm going to tap in. I'm all in. I got to find out what he has to say. I may walk away with one thing, but that one thing just changed my life. When I got a hold of 1 John 5:14-15, that changed the way that I looked at the Bible. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask. Man, we get a hold of something like that, We get a hold of that. We know that his word is true from A to Z, from Genesis to Revelation. We know that it's true. And we hang on to it, and we count on it, no matter what we're going through. Did I go through some frustrating things here in the last couple of weeks? I did. And what did I do? I threw up all over Carrie. And then the Lord said, quit it. I'm your answer. You complaining isn't an answer. And he says, you know, I've got the path that you're to walk on. I've got the answer that you need to that situation over there. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't count on other people because other people will let you down. Don't look to their advice because their advice is flawed. My advice is never flawed. Lean into me. Be led by my spirit. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm going to go. That's what I'm going to do. So, fear of excess should not cause us to shut down all movement. Maybe there is somebody that runs and jumps every service. Great! They're free. We don't know what they've gone through to get to that point. Let them be free. Now, if you're coming up here in front of the stage here or up on the stage and doing somersaults for people to see you, I'm going to free you all right. But anyway, we'll move on from there. But you know, because sometimes we do have some fruitcakes. Anybody ever gotten a fruitcake before at Christmas time? Did you give it to somebody else? Yeah, I think it's the same fruitcake that's being passed around for generations. I don't think anybody's ever made a new one. It's that fruitcake. But you know what? Some people don't want fruitcakes in their church. I'll take them. Because a lot of times a fruitcake, the only thing is, they just need to be taught. There's churches that don't want certain people into their in their church. Church I went to up north here, we had a youth group, had like, I don't know, 35 or 40 kids in the youth group. And our pastor went to the town where we picked up most of them and to the ministers there and told them, said, hey, we're coming here to pick up kids. We just want to let you know in case, you know, they was going to be coming, you wanted them to come to your church or whatever. And the pastor said to our pastor, said, that's okay. We don't want them in our church anyway. Okay, we'll take them. And we did. Matter of fact, we had a bus that seated 31 people, and I think we mostly carried all the time 36 people. But we made it. There was never an accident. So, but sometimes we want to try to decide the direction of the Spirit and expect Him to flow with us. We want the Holy Spirit to move in the direction that we lay down. But that's not how it works. He's the river that we must flow with. So I had, what's the difference between what a man wants to do and what the Spirit wants to do? Number one, those who have a preconceived idea of how the Holy Spirit flows live like the Holy Spirit follows them. Bad place to be. Disciples, those who want to experience the flow of the Spirit as He wills, live to follow the Spirit. We got to learn to know what the ways of the Spirit is. We need to be flexible. We need to change our ideas and change our agendas. You know, and the way to do that, spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word, get to know what the will of God is. Be sensitive to the Spirit, because He'll speak to us as we read the Word. He'll show us things as we speed the Word. If we never read the Word, if we never pray, we can't know what the Spirit of God wants to do. And I want to know what He wants to do. But you know, I was looking at this here earlier in the week. It says 60% of the people in church, they don't believe there is such a person as the Holy Spirit. 60% of the church world today, they don't believe that there's such a thing as the Holy Spirit. Why? Why don't they believe? Ignorance. Just because you call somebody ignorant isn't, we've made it a bad thing, but it just means that you haven't been taught. You just don't know. But it's ignorance. They just don't know. You know, when the Holy Spirit came to live in us, when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we became God's address here on the earth. And so the Holy Spirit's into us. Now we need to grow in that. We need to learn from that. We need to be able to listen to what He has to say. And the way that we're going to do that is we spend time communicating with Him. And we communicate with Him through prayer. And most of the time, we don't need to be weird, but most of the time He speaks to us through His Word, through the Bible. Sometimes we hear like speaking to me here this morning, and I believe it was in line with His Word. Anything He speaks to us, it will be in line with His Word. You know, and so many people, they're waiting on a move of God. We're waiting on the Spirit of God to move in our midst. I quit waiting on a move, and I began to move with the Spirit. So whenever you're, it doesn't have to be here in church, it can be in your personal life. You don't have to wait on a move of God to act in such a fact, like them kids yesterday. I believe the Holy Spirit was telling me, don't go over there and preach at them. Don't go over there and invite them to church. Get to know them. You don't need to scare them, kids, the first time you meet them. Some people would. Now, it may have been if I walked over there and I saw if one of them was in distress in some sort of fashion, they were crying or whatever, I would have tried to figure out what it was and explain to them, hey, man, Jesus is the comfort. He's the great, the Holy Spirit, He's the comforter. Let me introduce you to Him. We got to be sensitive to that. We need to be sensitive and know what the Holy Spirit is doing and what He's saying. Now, there are certain characteristics to remember. Oh, man, I got about 3 minutes. Certain characteristics to remember about the Holy Spirit, and I want to list those three, and we'll talk about them later. We need to remember the Holy Spirit. He's here. He's better. And He's moving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, if we look at the word spiritual, it means things of the Spirit. And if we look at the word ignorant, it says unaware, uninformed about the spiritual gifts. So we could read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 like this, verse 1. Now, concerning things of the Spirit, the gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. Huh. And if we go on down into verse 12, or verse 4 of that same chapter, before we end here, I want to make sure that I read through those and let you know what these gifts of the Spirit are, because we're going to start taking each one of them and talking about them individually, because they break them down into three categories, and there's a total of nine, and you've got the vocal gifts. These are ones that say something, and that's prophecy, gifts of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Then you have the power gifts, and these gifts do something, and that's gift of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. And then you've got the revelation gifts, and these reveal something, and it's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. We're going to talk about each of those. We're going to break each one of those down, and I want to see those things starting to happen in this place here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So when a gift of a word of wisdom comes about, and it's spoken in a church service, it's for the profit of everybody. When there's a word of wisdom being spoken, you need to lean in. Listen to what's being said, because if it's a true word of wisdom, it's for your gain, it's for your profit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Oh, tongues, 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 tongues. Gosh, they just came right out and said it in the Bible. And you get into chapter 14, Paul says he speaks in tongues more than we all do. Although he did say that he would rather have five intelligent words than a bunch of tongues if there's no interpretation. Anyway. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Not me, not my agenda, not what I would try to force, but as he wills. I think sometimes when we may have a prayer line and you have a minister there and he's spending a lot of time with these two people. He has a word of knowledge for this person, a word of wisdom for this person here. And you're standing in like, oh, yeah, he's got something for me. Pick me, pick me, pick me. And he gets to you and all he says is, receive in the name of Jesus. What's your response? Disappointment. He didn't have a word for me. The same Spirit that's speaking that word over that person and that word over that person is the same Spirit that comes to you that says, receive in the name of Jesus. You know what you need. Reach out and receive what it is that he has for you. We're going to be talking about these gifts of the Spirit for maybe another 2 or 3 weeks. And when we get done, I believe we're going to have a better understanding. I'm going to have a better understanding of them. And I believe that when we're taught and we have a better understanding of something, the more likely, the more confidence we have in operating in that area. If you don't have confidence in an area, you're not going to do it. Our confidence comes by teaching and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for this morning that we've come together here, and thank you that your Spirit has been here. Your spirit is moving. I know you had me lay some groundwork, some foundational things here today. But Father, I just know and I just believe that you've told me that we have to have a firm foundation. Otherwise, we have nothing to build on. That if we get caught up in the emotion of something, that when the emotion wears off, where do we stand? We don't have anything. So Father, as we move forward in these teachings and as we move forward in the way that your Spirit wants to work in this place here, distributing these gifts as he wills, Father, we thank you that your word says it's for the benefit of us all. It's for the profit of us all. And we look forward to it. As I look out over the people here today, I know most of you are born again, but I don't like to end a service if we don't give somebody the opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior. And so we're just going to continue here just for a couple of minutes. But if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to come down forward. I want to pray with you. And you're going to leave here different than when you came in. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you know you're not living the way you should, I'm going to ask you to come down here and I'm going to pray with you. And you're going to leave here in a different way than what you came in. If you have a need of any kind and you want prayer for it, I'm going to ask you to come down here because I don't want anybody to leave this place without their needs being met. We should never live lives of lack in any form or fashion. So if there's anybody here that would answer any of those calls, I'm going to ask you to come down here right now, and we're going to agree together, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask the people who don't come down that are still sitting in your seats, I want you to hook up. I don't want you to disconnect. I want you to pray, and I want you to believe with me. Stand in agreement. We're going to believe God. Hallelujah.